The Apostle Paul says in our epistle this morning that Lynn just read, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity, the best of every situation, because the days are evil." It's been said that we live in a postmodern and even a post-Christian culture. Over the course of, say, the past 50 years, there's been an observed decline in Christian influence over our culture and society. Christianity has become irrelevant, giving way to the secularist worldview, which sees religious faith, morality as outdated, and even to be done away with. In a post-Christian culture, the dominant worldview is no longer founded on natural law or the Judeo-Christian principles that it once was. The church no longer shapes the culture, but is rather replaced by the philosophy of secularism, the dominant religion of our day. You know, sadly, in many ways, the culture has been shaping the church. And in today's culture, there's this increased antipathy toward Christianity. It seems like we as Christians are swimming upstream. We're branded with labels such as closed-minded, bigoted, rigid, outmoded. Labels that are used to marginalize our faith. Anyone who proclaims that there's an absolute truth to what is and to morality becomes a target for persecution. We are told that it's politically correct to preach tolerance for all, except if you proclaim Christian truth, which is perceived to be intolerant and should no longer be tolerated. It seems as if the only sin left to claim is that something is a sin. Well, how did we get to this point in our culture? And what do we mean by postmodern, post-Christian? Well, in a nutshell, in the 19th century, there was an era of unbridled optimism. There was no end to what mankind could do. The Industrial Revolution, with the invention of the steam engine, mass production of goods, raised the standard of living throughout the whole world. Natural law, reason, and a Christian consensus was the prevailing thought of the culture of the day. And in the 20th century, we had World War I. One of the bloodiest conflicts the world had ever seen. But that was the war to end all wars. Then the world was plunged into a Great Depression, which saw the rise of fascism and communism. And any optimism left was buried in the death camps at Auschwitz in World War II. Pessimism pervaded the philosophical thought in academia, the novel, in the film, and in some cases, the church. As a result came the birth of postmodernism, a worldview that rejected the traditional values and tradition of Western society, including, and get this, natural law and any Judeo-Christian consensus. But what does this mean for us and where we're at today? Well, there's three strong tenets that are driving a culture of postmodernism that I want you to understand this morning. The first is scientism. Now, I'm not talking about science, which is the investigation of the universe as created by God. Science is a great thing. Christians should embrace science. But in a postmodern world, here's the difference. Scientism is the arbiter for all things true. What's really important in life, science will tell us. We turn to science for all the answers to life, which, quite frankly, science is not equipped to answer. A good scientist will tell you that and admit it readily. Most scientists know the limits of science. Scientism really, it shrinks everything down to the physical world. There is no spiritual world, and man has just become a machine to be manipulated by outside forces. Second, materialism. Not a quest for things, but of the view that material things are the only things that are real. The physical world is all there is. There's no spiritual world. Scientism and materialism has viewed God as unknowable, and the spiritual world is non-existent. The postmodernist, and here's the key, rejects natural law, which is God's built-in will for creation. Now, that's not what Paul says in Romans 1. Listen to this. Paul says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Nobody has an excuse. So Paul hits scientism and materialism right between the eyes as simply rejection of God's revealed truth, as plain as the nose on your face. You see, God has built his will into creation. He's written his law onto every human heart. It's called a conscience, right and wrong. But because of sin, we've distorted God's truth. Thinking themselves to be wise, they became fools, as Paul says in Romans. So scientism and materialism. Third is emotivism. Now this is huge in a postmodern worldview. Emotivism says that what determines right and wrong is what we feel. There's no absolute truth. Truth is relative. Morals are determined by consensus or the community or the majority. So, it's okay for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman because, well, that's the consensus. It's what the culture feels is right. If I don't like my sex, I can change it. Why not? I'm in charge. If I want to end my life because I don't like the quality, well, that's okay too. We determine when life begins and when it ends because, you see, truth is determined on how we feel about things. Man is autonomous, a law unto himself. We're God of our own destiny, says a postmodern culture. Isaiah, the prophet, says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. As One Republic sings in their hit song, Counting Stars, I feel so wrong doing the right thing, and I feel so right doing the wrong thing. Folks, that's where we're at today. God's natural law and revealed will are turned upside down. You know, I find it interesting that in this culture, in their enlightened self-righteousness, passes judgment on previous cultures, sins by tearing down statues, eliminating speech in the name of political correctness, and crushing dissent. Yet, it's this culture that has killed an estimated 61 million lives by abortion, worshiping the god of Molech in the Old Testament. You see, emotions and feelings do not determine truth, but God's revealed will in Christ through his word and in creation determines truth. Christianity stands in stark contrast to a postmodern worldview. We need to understand that. And I'm afraid today, we are in the minority. Francis Schaeffer, a theologian and philosopher in the late 20th century, he foresaw this coming 45 years ago in his book, How Should We Then Live? And he says, if there's no objective truth by which to judge society, then society dictates what truth is. Society is left with one person or an elite filling the vacuum left by the loss of the Judeo-Christian consensus that once gave us freedom and form in Western culture. Schaeffer goes on to say, "I believe the time is coming when the majority of young and old will give up their liberties without raising their voices as long as their own lifestyle is not threatened." He says the values that define this majority as personal peace and affluence. He defines personal peace as, "Just leave me alone. I don't want to be troubled by the others or the ills of society." It means wanting to have my personal pattern undisturbed in my lifetime, regardless of what the consequences would be for my children or grandchildren. It's a selfish worldview that says only I matter. And of course, affluence is the overwhelming and ever-increasing lust for prosperity, a life made up of things, things, and more things. And since personal peace and affluence are so often only the values that this majority holds on to in our culture today, politicians know that to get elected, they need to promise these things. So politics today has largely become not a matter of ideals and truth, but of supplying a constituency with a frosting of personal peace and affluence. Isn't that true today? Edward Gibbon, in his book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, said that the following five attributes marked the end of Rome. And listen to these. Number one, a mounting love of show and luxury. In other words, that personal peace and affluence. Number two, a widening gap between the very rich and poor. Third, an obsession with sex. And fourth, the freakishness in the arts, masquerading as originality. And fifth, an increased desire to live off the state. Sound familiar? As Paul said, the days are evil. You know, actually, when you think about it, the postmodern worldview began in Genesis 3. When Satan said, "Did God really say you aren't to eat from the fruit of any tree? Are you really sure? No, you won't die, but you shall be like God, knowing good from evil." You see, the postmodern, post-Christian worldview is that we are law unto ourselves. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we're at a real crossroad today with the values of our culture. So what is the Christian response to this post-Christian culture, this philosophy of secularism? How is the church to interact? And how do we make the most of every opportunity? Well, Paul says in our reading this morning that we were once in darkness, but now we're children of light. We are to live as light in an evil world. He goes on to say that for the fruit of this light consists in goodness, righteousness, and truth. So first we proclaim God's truth. God has revealed truth to us in Jesus Christ, a fact that has taken place in space, time, history, not just some postmodern subjective feeling. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. What is the meaning of life? Christ. What did Christ come to do? But to redeem creation from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. That's our confession of faith. And we are to live that truth because, as Paul says, we are children of light. We're to be just like that flashlight. Truth is not relative, but objective, as given by God's word and built into creation. So we need to proclaim that truth in every part of our lives by the way we live. Martin Luther said, "The Holy Spirit is no skeptic, and the things he has written in our hearts are not doubts or opinions, but truth, surer and more certain than sense and life itself." We have the truth. In addition to proclaiming the truth of Christ, Paul says we pursue righteousness and goodness. Pursuing righteousness means that we turn from the darkness of sin in our own lives with a repentant heart and speak out against the darkness in our culture. As Paul says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. In other words, we are to let our leaders and politicians and those in authority know when they are violating God's law. We must speak out when our leaders act against God's will or natural law. You know what? There is no separation of church and state, only a distinction. And I think as Lutherans, we must wake up from spiritual apathy and not sit in quietism. Our faith must testify to the truth of Jesus Christ in the marketplace, our neighborhoods, our schools, and in government. And yes, when we do this, we will be persecuted. The Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, if a servant is not above his master, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If they hated me, they will hate you also. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. Brothers and sisters, we can take comfort. We need not fear. The Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of sound mind. God has everything under control. You and I are under his control. Those in Jesus Christ have a secure identity. We know who we are in Christ. We've been chosen by God, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. We are his people, claimed in baptism, and we've been given the Holy Spirit. So we need not fear. And the Holy Spirit is at work in us, helping us make the most of every opportunity to let others know through our words, our action, that life is not about serving ourselves, unlike what our culture teaches. I don't know about you, I think it's a great time to be a Christian in a post-Christian culture. Even though the culture says there's no truth, believe me, people are looking for truth, for hope, for something to give them meaning in life, especially in this unprecedented time of a pandemic, riots in our cities. There's so much emptiness and loneliness in our culture. We have the opportunity to be a light in a culture of darkness, to tell others about a relationship with Jesus who died and rose again to forgive our sins, to fill the loneliness and emptiness in people's lives, and gives us the promise of eternal life. What more do we want? We have it. We have it, brothers and sisters. So yes, the days are evil. And Jesus said in our gospel this morning, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and rejoice, for your redemption draws nigh. So let us then be wise, not unwise, making the most of every opportunity by being a light in a dark world, proclaiming the truth, pursuing righteousness and goodness. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand.